I stopped by a grocery store on the evening of Halloween. I walked past the seasonal aisle, and I noticed that there were several staff consolidating the remaining bags of chocolate bars and suckers. And they were setting up a display of Christmas cookie ingredients. We hadn't flipped the calendar to November. We hadn't even enjoyed stuffing and mashed potatoes and cranberry sauce, and yet the grocery store powers that be were already gearing up for December. This practice in our consumerist culture is nothing new, but it can add to the overwhelm and the longing to have all those bright and cheery holidays go away. Maybe just take a year off and come back next December. I don't wanna. A lot of folks are feeling overwhelmed this year. Overwhelmed by the busyness of the holidays. Overwhelmed by the onslaught of news, the fake news, and the real news, which is harder and harder to find. Overwhelmed by personal and family worries. Overwhelmed by past losses. Have you ever found yourself wishing you were just a little less whelmed? Well, the remedy for overwhelm can be pretty clear. Take a break. Do less. Let some things go. It might be clear, but it's not easy. The need to do less might be necessary even when we believe that everything we are doing is important, maybe even especially then. Thomas Merton, a Catholic monk, mystic, poet, and social activist, warned against the harm of being overcommitted. He said the rush and pressure of modern life are a form, perhaps the most common form, of its innate violence. To allow oneself to be carried away by a multitude of conflicting concerns, to surrender to too many demands, to commit oneself to too many projects, to want to help everyone in everything, is to succumb to violence. The frenzy of our activism neutralizes our work for peace. It destroys our own inner capacity for peace. No one except you can know what too much is in your life. And you can be sure that when your capacity for peace has been exceeded, you will know. We don't all have the ability or the privilege to be able to cut back on what we are doing. But for those of us who do, saying no to something may be a healthy choice. It may be healing for our tired, overwhelmed souls. And what of when we are feeling sad or irritable or have a serious case of the blahs? Most of us don't want to be labeled a Scrooge or a Grinch. And sometimes we aren't feeling stingy, just sad. December is a month infused with the miracle of Hanukkah, the return of the light of solstice, the journey of La Posadas, the hope of Christmas, the blessings of African American community for Kwanzaa, and the reflection invited on New Year's Eve. How can one possibly be sad? Well, we can be sad because of all that we're holding in our hearts and minds. And that is reason enough. We can grieve because just before the rededication of the temple, the Maccabees endured a terrible, horrific war. We can lack hope because the winter solstice is the longest night, and our ancestors weren't sure that the sun itself, that the light and warmth would ever return. Hopelessness. We can feel weary because the journey of Las Posadas involves many, many doors being closed and being told, no, you are not welcome here. We can feel disheartened because Herod was oppressive and cruel. We may yearn for affirmation and celebration of community and not know where to find it. And we may feel deeply unsettled at all that this past year has held. This, too, is December's legacy. What do we do with so much sadness? First, we can acknowledge it, even invite it in, as Persian poet Jalaluddin Rumi suggested in his poem, The Guest House. Welcome and entertain them all, he said, even if they are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. But what if it wasn't on our calendar to feel this way? What if we had other plans? I know of a hypothetical minister who sometimes calls their spiritual director and says, I shouldn't be feeling this way. And the wise, kind, hypothetical spiritual director says, and how is that working for you? Arguing with reality. And that is how the December blues arrive. Whether or not we had planned on it, whether or not we think we should be blue, there they are. Sometimes arguing, and there we are, sometimes arguing with the reality of our sadness. There's a distinction between feeling blue and depression. Psychologist Andrew Solomon described his own experience of depression. I remember thinking, he said, I need to take a shower. I'd think, a shower. Okay, I'll need to turn the water on. I need to stand under a shower. I need to find the shampoo. I'll need to put my head back under the water. I mean, he continues, I was thinking through every one of these steps, the way that you would think through things if you were trying to ascend Mont Blanc and needed to plan your whole route. And I would think, can I do it? A shower? Can I do it? Depression is described as debilitating sadness, self-recrimination, or apathy, lasting longer than 2 weeks. If you're concerned about yourself or someone you love, don't wait 2 weeks. Please talk with a doctor soon. Unfortunately, the very nature of depression can make it very hard to seek help, and can increase feelings of isolation and shame. When treatment allowed Solomon to recover from each bout of his depression, he needed to will himself to remember what it felt like. He wanted to disassociate himself from that depressed person. Who that person was seemed shameful to him and bad and like a failure, and he didn't want to think about or be reacquainted with that person anymore. It is hard work. It is courageous work to deal with depression and other forms of mental illness that impact us, that impact those we love. Blessings on all the courageous ones here. So when an illness such as depression impacts millions of people and is still hidden because of shame or embarrassment, it's not surprising that it is also difficult to acknowledge sadness, especially around the holidays. In a Huffington Post article called Holiday Blues, consultant and author Marilyn Tam suggests some physical and spiritual practices that might make a difference. Go outside, she says. Spend some time in the fresh air and sunlight, even if it is cold and rainy. Let some of that natural light help your being. Exercise. It helps release stress, helps us sleep better, and supports a healthier appetite. Which brings us to eating well. Even if our body is craving an entire pint of ice cream, or if we're not hungry at all, eating plenty of fresh veggies can help our moods. We can spend time with other people, she says, especially those we care about. This might mean a walk with a friend, playing a game with our family, or coming to church. So congratulations, just by being here today, you've gone outside and shared time with others. Worship is like vitamins for your well-being. Another tool for addressing the December blues is to offer gratitude. Saying thank you isn't just polite, it's good for you. We can offer gratitude to other people, to the earth, to spirit. We can even offer thank yous to ourselves. A gratitude practice doesn't make the hard stuff go away, but it encourages our attention to notice the sometimes small, beautiful parts of our lives as well. And Tam's final recommendation is to help others. Be kind. Listen well. When we listen well to others, we can better hear if they're in need, and if so, what might be truly helpful. Are you feeling inspired to help someone and you're not sure what to do? Please talk with Reverend Wendy or with me, and we can offer some ideas. Lastly, my own suggestion on what we might do with winter sadness. Offer it some space. Take some tips from the bare trees, and don't try to feel anything or be anything that you are not. Evergreens are lovely, don't get me wrong, but the bare spaciousness of the maple trees allow us to more clearly see the moon and stars. I close with the poem Winter Sequence by the Reverend Mark Bellatini. Gray skies over my head, throw yourselves like quilts over my busy life and remind me to sit down and rest. Stars of winter, Orion's sash sparkling across the heavens, remind me by your distance that compared to the infinity of the universe, every single thing I struggle with here on Earth is small, parochial, and hardly universal in scope. Great music of the season, glowing with angel songs and filigreed with great mysteries, remind me that my own birth, like the births of all people in this room, was no less mysterious than that ancient and celebrated birth, no less brimming with wonder. For all children that come into the world have lives as precious to them as Jesus' life was to him. So now come, love greater than my longing, silence greater than fatigue of tongues, and haul my heart away from the undue frenzy of the season and bestow to it rest, proportion, and the haunting dark beauty of winter's long nights. May it be so for each of us this December.